It's News Talk Daily. I'm Ciara Doherty. Well, the government's published its blueprint to revitalise Dublin's O'Connell Street, and it's fair to say it's received a fairly mixed reaction. It's the old post office. That's what's generated the most heat. Just what exactly are we going to do with the GPO? Today, we are going to talk about one potential use. When he announced this plan, the Taoiseach mentioned that the GPO building, which is this huge building in the middle of the capital's main street, I'm sure you're all familiar with it, he said it would become a world-class and historic flagship project, big words there, big promises, with a significant cultural presence at its heart, supported by first-class retail and office components. Well, the retail and office bits really didn't impress Sinn Féin. In the Dáil, Mary Lou McDonald described the idea as a desecration.
The Irish Revolution broke the most powerful empire on earth at the time, and the GPO was at the epicentre of that rebellion. Nowhere else in the world, in no other country that has fought for its independence, would you have a government so determined to desecrate its hallowed ground.
Well, Fine Gael's James Gagan, he came out and then he defended the plan. He pointed to the potential use of this pretty iconic building for a museum that would reflect the whole nation.
What it has at the moment is a retail postal offering. It has a modest museum, which we should be much more ambitious about, to reflect the history of what I would consider to be, and what the government considers to be, the most important building in the state. The GPO is not just for Dubliners. The GPO reflects our state. It reflects the absolute heroism of the most ordinary people.
So last year, Catherine Martin, who was of course the arts minister, she set up an expert group to investigate the idea of a national women's museum. And we understand that that report is due to be delivered to the minister shortly. And here at News Talk Daily, we're wondering if the GPO might prove a worthy home for such a museum, and if such a museum is actually necessary. And I suppose a lot of it is going to depend on whether Patrick O'Donovan, who is of course the current arts minister and Catherine Martin's successor, feels as strongly as she did about the need for one. Dr. Georgina Larrigy is assistant professor in public history and cultural heritage at Trinity College in Dublin. She's been involved in advocating for greater representation of women's stories in our museums. And you're very welcome to the podcast, Georgina.
Thank you very much.
So how did you first get involved in discussions about how women and the stories of women might be told better in our museums?
Well, there's a group of women who are already kind of working on this, and they were forming an advocacy group, I suppose. And in 2019, I think in the winter of 2019, so just before COVID hit, we actually all met together in a city centre location, and we realised that we all brought different strengths to the kind of the group as a whole. As you said, I teach public history and cultural heritage in Trinity. So I'm kind of familiar with the museum landscape in Ireland, and I understand how vibrant it is, but also where there's areas that it can be developed, I suppose. And there's been a lot of campaigns around marriage equality and repeal of the 8th and all of that. So it's kind of a moment where lots of different things are coming together.
And when this group of women met, was there sort of a central thread running through everybody's narrative, which is we're not being represented properly, adequately in museums? We're just not being represented at all. Was that the feeling?
Well, I suppose a little bit of annoyance at the lack of representation and the kind of historical inequalities that women have faced in Irish society. You know, we're coming out of decades of historical abuse inquiries and where women and children have been heavily victimised. But the thread that kept us going actually was less about the past and more about the future. So what we all wanted was a women's museum. So we were, yes, that helps create an argument for a women's museum, but in reality what we wanted was to actually get this idea off the ground and get people to listen to our ideas and hopefully say yes.
Well, one of the people who did seem to be listening was the previous arts minister, Catherine Martin, and she did set up this advisory committee on the representation of women in our cultural institutions. What kind of people are on that group, and what exactly is it that they were asked to do?
So there's academics, representatives from women's groups, there's representatives from traveller community, people from north and south of the island, as well as people that are involved in business and politics and community organisation, I suppose. And the two subcommittees, one of which is designed to work with stakeholders, to identify who the stakeholders are at a kind of a national level and at an all-island level, getting a sense of what's actually in the national collection, because a tiny percentage of what we have is actually on display in Collins Barracks in different locations around the country. So knowing what we have, knowing where the gaps in that kind of collection are, so whose stories are told even in the storage boxes versus what's on display in the museums themselves, and trying to figure a way to both represent what already exists for women's history and women's stories, but also to figure out how to fill the gaps that exist. So historical legacy exists in the makeup of the museum as it currently exists, and that includes the gender inequality that's existed throughout the 1920th and into the 21st century. So identifying those gaps in the stories.
Just a yeah. big audit then.
A big audit, yeah. That's a really good way of expressing it. And the second subcommittee then is looking at the feasibility of actually creating a dedicated space for a women's museum.
Okay, and this is something that you have been advocating for. You think this is a good idea, a standalone museum that would tell the story and the part that they have played in the history and the culture of this country from past to present. Is that the idea in a nutshell?
Yeah, basically. I mean, you could do something online, and people do talk, and there is a women's museum online for Ireland. But we live in the real world. You know, the best way to engage with people is face to face. And we learned that through COVID, I think. And the internet is problematic in its own way. So you can do something much more permanent. There's greater visibility. And if you think about the physical space that we already exist in, so like over 900 streets in Dublin, only 27 are named after women. Like, that's less than 3%. Or 50% of the population. There's five statues of women on the streets. One of them is fictitious, Molly Malone. She gets groped every time you walk by. You can't say there's a connection between how people behave around the Molly Malone statue and what goes on in Temple Bar of an evening, you know? And I think it would change the narrative around gender inequality. There's still a gender pay gap. There's a lack of representation of women in kind of policy making and decision making spaces within the state. Like, there's never been a woman chief of the central bank, chief of defence forces, any of that. So you have to say there has to be a connection between women who see themselves as having a role to play and what we've been seeing in history and heritage in the past, which has chiefly been men.
Okay, so it's back to that argument, you can't be what you can't see. Is that it?
Yes, basically, yeah. That's one of the lines that we've used, see it to be it. Like, if you were to think of Rachel Blackmore, her achievement as the first female winner of an entry Grand National, you'd have to say that seeing her story would be amazing for young female riders and young boys as well, thinking no matter what society might place in front of you in terms of a disability or a difficulty in terms of class or sexual orientation or ethnicity, that actually you can overcome historical inequalities, and people have done it in the past and we can continue to do it.
Would it not make more sense, Georgina, to do this audit, right? Look at what's out there. Look at all of the museums and cultural spaces and institutions in the country. See where there is a lacking or a misrepresentation or underrepresentation, and just put women into those spaces. Is that not real equality?
There's an argument for that, but why not create something new if you're going to do this? Like, I think there's enough justification for actually making a statement by saying, actually, we're here. There's a huge raft of talented people working in the cultural institutions, and they're doing their best within what they have, within terms of the collection that they have, but also in terms of the funding they have. And actually, I think a women's museum will be another way to flush money into a fairly under-resourced system and set of cultural institutions. And it would bring on new audiences. It could bring on new partnerships with existing organisations. We have a broader vision of what a women's museum might be, that would include performance space, that would include art gallery, that might include an archive. So to rethink the idea of what a museum will be, something that isn't static, but something that would be living, that would provide a space for communities to engage with stories of Irish women in the past and in the present with an eye to the future. So you could do it in an existing physical space, in an existing cultural institution. But if you're going to do it, why not why not go big or go home?
I just am thinking about my own daughters, and I have two daughters. I don't like the idea, I have to say, of bringing them to Collins Barracks, right? And you say, look, they're predominantly going to be looking at exhibitions or artefacts that represent the role that males played in that part of our history. And then saying, don't worry about it, girls. I'm actually going to bring you to the women's place, and we're going to recognise women somewhere else, okay, that we're almost stand alone.
Yeah.
You know, because to me, that's sort of teaching them that there is, once again, inequality, and it's playing on that inequality rather than just saying we're all going to be recognised in the same space because we are all equal. Does it not sort of push that inequality agenda almost further because it separates the genders again?
I mean, I have two daughters as well, and my daughter comes home from school and says, the boys in her class have told her that girls are weak, that girls are rubbish, that girls are supposed to be pretty. There's more than one way to be a girl. There's more than one way to be a woman. And I think in order to address the existing inequality, they persist. You know, we're not there yet. We actually aren't there yet. We are different. There's no harm in saying that we're different, that our historical experience has been different. And there's no point in forgetting the fact that we have been marginalised. I don't know how you can do that in tandem with telling the story of soldiers and chiefs in the National Museum.
I'm just thinking the Collins Barracks Museum. I was looking at their website last night, and you know, last summer they had, from July and August, they had an exhibition, Revolutionary Women, looking at the role of women in the military.
Yeah.
So is it fair to say that we haven't been represented when they are holding exhibitions like that?
Yeah, they're doing that now. They're doing that now. But it took the Decade of Centenaries. Like, one of the surprising elements of the Decade of Centenaries, which wasn't, I think, envisaged by those who planned for that commemorative decade, was the rising visibility of women. And that happened because money was thrown into the system, because there's a lot more women's history actually been written, been researched, and it's a place to platform all of that as well. So I think you can argue for both.
There were many women involved, as we know, in the 1916 Rising, especially the volunteers of Cumann na Mban. Would using parts of the old post office, the GPO, be a good home for a women's museum? Would that be a suitable tribute to them?
Well, how representative would it be of women across the island if it was in the GPO? That tells one story, number one. Number two, there's already a museum in the GPO. It's a brilliantly visible site. I was walking past it this morning coming up Collins Street going, wow, that would be like amazing. But there are lots of other good suitable sites. To me, it would tie in an idea of women's history on this island with a narrative that is highly politicised. Like the GPO Moore Street, that's a highly politicised commemorative space already. To go in there with, let's bring women in here as well. Yes, you could, but you'd have an awful lot of battles to fight.
Too many argy-bargies.
Well, I just think there's a lot going on there with the families of people who are involved in 1916. There's an argument for it. I can see an argument for it from a visibility point of view, but you have to be realistic about what's achievable as well.
So have you got your eye on a space in Dublin?
Not as a group. Okay, so this... Yes.
This is Georgina's
idea.
Ideal space.
And I only was thinking about this because of this chat. Holles Street. What's going to happen to Holles Street? It's beside the National Museum, really effectively. It's across from the Dáil. It's a site of female labour, literally, in every shape. Yeah.
Hallelujah to that.
It's on Merrion Square. It's hugely central. You're coming up with the problem of shoehorning a museum into a site that's not fit for purpose or not built for that purpose, I suppose. So that's what I was thinking this morning and last night when I was thinking about where.
There's something in that, potentially. But at the same time, maybe I want to get women out of the labour hospitals and let's tell our story away from, I know it's a huge part of our life, what we do when we give birth, but anyway, okay, food for thought there. The other big question is going to be who is represented in this museum? Whose stories are we telling?
Yeah.
So who do you want to see? You did mention Rachel Blackmore, but who else?
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Grace O'Malley, Caldwell. She predates partition, which I like. It allows us to tell a story that isn't tied to the narrative of a state that victimised women since 1920, 21, 22, to be honest, in institutions and government, to the marriage ban and the constitution, in all the many ways. She was her own woman. It's not a Dublin story, no harm to Dublin, but it's nice to get other non-Dublin stories into the capital. I'm also, there's a lot of traveller women, a lot of traveller activists. Sinead O'Connor, I think. Who else? Alice Stopford Green was an amazing woman. She was a historian. She's a friend of Roger Casement. She went to South Africa and highlighted what the British were doing there during the Boer War. She highlighted what was happening with colonialism in the Belgian Congo. You just have to go to the Dictionary of Irish Biography to find hundreds, if not thousands, of women that should be in there.
Okay, so we've no shortage of stories.
No shortage of stories, no.
Dr. Jordina Larraghy, historian from Trinity College in Dublin. Thanks so much for joining me on Newstalk Daily today.
Thank you very much.
I want to talk now to Finn McRedman. She writes for the Irish Times and the New Statesman. Good to have you on Newstalk Daily, Finn.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
First up, you don't disagree with the argument that Irish women and their achievements have been overlooked or under-celebrated. Am I right?
Yeah, sure. I think that's probably a true, if relatively banal, analysis of women throughout history until there was kind of this like great disciplinary reckoning in the 2010s, of which women and their role in history started to become a kind of study and discipline in and of itself. Yeah.
Why the word banal?
Because it's just obvious, I think, you know. We just know it's just self-evidently true. It's just a point that's been made a million times. And I know I make it in this column that I wrote about 18 months ago. I think it's important to say it. Yes, women's role in history has often been cast aside in favor of the kind of great man theory of everything, especially in times when social history wasn't considered to be a particularly worthy discipline, that kind of the function of women in the past gets swept away as less important than, you know, the men who run the armies, et cetera, et cetera. That's all true, but it's all obvious. It's all been said before.
You in general are suspicious, I think would be the word to use, of any women-only cultural products. That's museums or prizes or festivals.
Yeah, I am. Because I don't think the way to atone for this kind of historical sidelining of women is to sideline them even further. It's completely counterintuitive and counterproductive to say, oh, we've forgotten about women, so let's put them in a special little space and we'll just keep them all there. Just, you know, we'll put them aside, you know. Oh, God, and then tick that box. Oh, thank God, we've solved women. You know, I find it patronizing. I find it illogical. I also just don't think going to a museum of women would be particularly interesting. I prefer to see a museum of men and women, you know, and how in concert they created history and how the genders interact with each other. I don't think a woman-only version of history is any more valuable than the man-only version of history that we've already condemned.
What one of our earlier speakers, Jordina Larraghy, was saying is, well, there's no point pretending that we weren't written out of history. You know, it's worth actually acknowledging that and saying we need to recognise that women were left out, forgotten about, underrepresented. And let's confront that.
I mean, sure, we can put a little sign up in a museum, but we don't need a whole museum to address something that is obvious and true, and we all know. I think it harms the cause. I think it kind of designates women as separate, which is what we've already done, and we're already worried about that and already concerned about that. We don't achieve parity between genders by having special prizes for women and special museums for women. That strikes me as backwards, right?
Yeah, I do get that. But at the same time, I think if we recognise that we have been underrepresented, okay, and you say, look, this is a banal truism, this is not something that needs to be debated, then why haven't these cultural spaces changed?
I would dispute that entirely. I don't think it's fair or accurate to argue that it hasn't changed. Of course women are in a significantly better place now than they were 20 years ago, and then 20 years before that, and 20 years before that. You know, there are problems, of course. I don't think the problems facing women are literary prizes and representation in museums and representation in history books. I think women are doing fine in those spaces. I think we can think about kind of women's healthcare and women's literacy and much more serious things that really do warrant attention, you know, not argue that women are somehow, you know, especially in Ireland, that women are somehow culturally disenfranchised.
If we do get a standalone women's museum in Ireland, which has been mooted in, you know, a repurposed building like the GPO or our previous speaker suggested, Hollis Street Hospital, you wouldn't be visiting?
I mean, not because I like morally object. I just don't think it'd be very interesting. I'd way prefer a museum that told the history of Europe, history of Ireland, history of Britain, whatever, the history of something, not categorized along the lines of gender. That feels boring to me, I think.
Finn McRedmond, thanks for joining this discussion today. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
So what do you think? Is it time to have a standalone women's museum in this country? Maybe you have your own ideas of what should go into that proposed new museum in the GPO. Do join the conversation. Do drop me a line, newstalkdaily@newstalk.com. Well, that's it for today. I'll be back in your feed bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of News Talk Daily. Don't forget that all of our episodes are available to listen back on the Go Loud app or wherever it is you stream your content. And a big thank you to all of you who've listened already, especially if you've followed or liked our podcast. Until the next time, Slán.